Now, our regular WorldLink listeners will remember Asif Muhyiddin. He's the prize-winning atheist Bangladeshi blogger who was almost killed by suspected Islamists in Dhaka in 2013. He's also one of the founders of the Shabak movement, which took to the streets of the capital that same year to demand the death penalty for Islamist war criminals. Back then, I spoke to Asif twice over Skype, once while he was recovering from the severe injuries he suffered in the assassination attempt, and once after his blog, which was the most popular in the country, was banned by the authorities for being anti-government and anti-religious. Both times, Asif was speaking to me while in hiding, and I can say now that all of us here were rather concerned about his safety back then, which is why I'm all the more happy to say that today we're finally meeting him in the flesh, because he's right here in the studio with us now. Asif, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Asif, as I just explained, last time we spoke was under very different circumstances. You're in Germany now, after hiding from both your own government and Islamists for months. How did you manage to leave the country and get to Germany?
That was not very easy. When I was in the airport, the police, the immigration department asked me many questions, and I had to stay there for 1.5 hours. But that was really difficult, and they asked me for the papers from the court that I can leave the country. Then I asked them that if I have any restriction to leave the country from the court. Do you have any papers that I have some restriction? Then they told me no.
You were able to leave then?
Yeah.
Okay. But last time we spoke, as I understood it, the government was actively looking for you.
Yeah.
And that they weren't looking for you anymore when you tried to leave at the airport.
They called few detective branches, and now there are four detective branches in Bangladesh, and they called all of them, and they said it's okay, he can leave. I don't know why. Maybe they were thinking that it is safe for them if I leave the country.
That it was better to get rid of
you.
Okay. And now you were invited by Amnesty International, if I understood correctly?
Yeah, first I was invited by the Amnesty International to join some seminars about human rights and rights of women, rights of gay, lesbian, rights of religious minorities. And now I got the scholarship from Hamburg Foundation, and I will stay here for another 1 year.
Wow. So, Asif, how has your life changed then since you left Bangladesh?
Now I'm feeling safe and secured. When I was in Bangladesh, most of the time I was in prison. After I got released from the prison, I was not feeling safe because all the time I had to wear a mask because they posted my picture all over the city and in Chittagong, in Sylhet, and in Dhaka. And most of the people know me. My picture was all over the newspaper and TV. And most of the time I had to stay at home for the security reason. And now I'm like a free bird. And I can walk to the streets without any fear. So it's very comfortable and I feel very safe here.
What was so controversial or so blasphemous in the statements that you made? Can you perhaps give us some examples of statements that Islamists consider particularly offensive?
Yeah, of course. I wrote a blog about women rights. If you read the Quran, then you can find in Surah Nisa ayat 34 that says that a man can beat his wife if the wife does not obey her husband, and I criticize that. And modern civilization, there is no place for hitting anybody. There are other many verses that says that a Muslim should kill the Jews and. Yes, something like that, and the non-believers, that should not be practiced in modern society. Also, according to Sharia law, if someone leaves Islam, then they had to kill that person. So I don't think that is a very good thing to practice. So I criticize that, and that's why they were very angry, and I also criticize the leader of Islamic political parties. The most powerful Islamic political leader right now. His name is Allama Shafi. And he said that women should not study after class 4. Women should always stay at home, take care of her children and her husband. This is the only one duty for women. And I don't think that is a very good practice for modern civilization, modern society. And I criticize that. That's why he, Islamic leader, Allama Shafi, was very angry with me and he put my name on the list. And he mentioned my name a few times that I should be killed because I criticized his ideology and also the Quran and the Hadith also. And also I also criticized Bible and the Hindu religious books, which parts are not compatible with modern society.
So, Asif, it seems that you have in no way stopped saying the things that you were saying on your blog that got you into trouble with the Islamists and extremists, and you almost paid for that with your life last year.
Yeah.
Almost. Has anything come of the investigation into that? Has anybody been held to account for that?
There is a fundamentalist group in Bangladesh. And the name is Ansarullah Bangla Team. They said that they did it. So I know who attacked me, the Ansarullah Bangla Team and the Hefazat Islam and Jamaat Islam, these political parties. And I also met my attackers when I was in prison. My attackers were in the same cell where I was. They put me in that cell where the attackers and the Islamists were together, and we had a nice discussion. Yeah,
you had a nice discussion.
Yeah, yeah. I asked them that why did you? They recognized me, and I was a little bit famous in when I was in prison. Everybody knows that atheist blogger is here, living here. So many people came to visit me in the prison, and they also came to visit me. Then I asked them that, why did you attack me? They told me that you left Islam, and you are no longer a Muslim, and you criticize the Quran. So we had to do that. Then I asked him that, if you got released from the prison, what you will do? Then they told me that they will try it again. So yes, that was okay. It is their ideology, but I told them that I will write against you, but I will never attack you or do anything that is violent. I will not do that, but I will write against your ideology.
So are you still worried then about the prospect of being attacked again?
Yes, few days ago, just 15 days ago, they posted a Facebook note that Asif Muhyiddin should be killed and someone should go to Germany and kill him. They also posted it in Facebook and they got maybe 1,200 likes, and many of them shared that post. Yes, they're still looking for me, and I'm still the number one enemy of Islam, I think, in Bangladesh.
So even though you have met these people and spoken to them face-to-face and said that you do not pose a physical threat to them, you're still a target. That hasn't changed. Meeting you face-to-face hasn't changed anything in terms of their opinion of you.
No, they will never change. Because of their education system, they will become a fundamentalist. If you want to change their opinion, then you have to start from the beginning, from their school.
How well do you know the Quran? I mean, you're an atheist now, but did you grow up reading the Quran?
Or? Yeah, of course. I was a believer of Islam when I was 13 or 14. Then I understood that everything written in the religious books are fake, lies. I don't believe there is a person living in the sky, watching all over the world. I don't believe that. And yes, I read Quran and Hadith many times, and I criticize many of the Hadiths that is not compatible with modern society.
But is it a case then of live and let live? I mean, will you respect people who want to pursue a religious life and live according to the Quran, or is it something you want to change actively and convert them to become atheists?
No. I never tried to convert anyone to be an atheist. Yes, it is okay if someone personally believe in God or believe in Quran or Hadith, it is okay. I don't have any problem with that. But if someone want to impose Sharia law in our society, in our culture, in our laws, then I have problems because they should not decide that women should not go out, women should not study. They should not decide that. This is modern society, and we are living here. We should not practice the laws which are 1400 years ago, and we should not cut the hands of the thieves. We should not throw stones to a woman who have some relationship with another person. We should not practice these things. But it is in our village, in the many villages of Bangladesh, they practice this kind of laws, especially Sharia laws, and I should criticize that.
Perhaps if we talk a bit about domestic politics, the domestic issues in Bangladesh. You were one of the coordinators of the 2013 protests of the Shabak movement, who were calling for the banning of Islamist parties and also calling for the death penalty of Islamists guilty of war crimes in the 1971 War of Independence from Pakistan. And in December, the Islamist opposition leader Abdul Qadar Mollah was executed following major demonstrations and counter-demonstrations. How did you personally feel about his execution and also about the deaths that occurred as a result of the protests?
Actually, I'm not in the favor of death penalty. I never supported death penalty. But we started a movement against the war criminals, and my ideology was to ban Islamic political parties. And I told them when we had that movement, I told them many times that our number one agenda should be separation of religion and politics, not the death penalty of Qadar Mullah. But we had a huge debate, and most of the people wanted the death penalty of Qadar Mullah. And yes, it is democracy, and I had to follow them. But personally, I don't support death penalty, and I was silent at that time.
I remember last time we spoke, it sounded more like you were advocating death penalty for convicted war criminals because they deserved it. Have your emotions or your views changed since then?
No. 4 years ago, I wrote a blog against death penalty. But if the government of Bangladesh is practicing death penalties, and so why not the war criminals? I think like that. The poor people of Bangladesh, many of them, they don't have money for a lawyer. They are getting death penalties. So why not them? I think like that.
What are you planning to do now? You're in Germany for a year on a scholarship. What are you going to do when that ends next April? Will you go back to Bangladesh?
After 1 year, yes, I will go back to Bangladesh. We started many things, and I have to go back there and start my movement again. I am also coordinator of one blogger organization in Bangladesh. And 2 days ago, we also had a protest against the government. I should tell you one thing, that two of our bloggers, they are only 17 years old. Now they are in prison for blasphemous blog post. Actually, they wrote something about evolution theory in their Facebook, and contradiction between Quran and evolution theory. And 2 days ago, our organization had a protest against it. And they and I also wrote for the release, and there is a new law called ICT Act, and that says that if someone wrote something in the blog or Facebook that hurt the religious feelings of other people, then they will be sentenced 7 years to 14 years in prison. For me, it is absolutely nonsense and absolutely stupid law, and I'm protesting against that law. And I will go back to Bangladesh and will still continue my things.
Why go back to a country where you've been locked up, you've almost been murdered, and it's likely that both could happen again if you return?
Because I have to go to Bangladesh because they are my people. I cannot just run away from the situation. I have to fight back, and yes, they can kill me, but there will be a lot of other people, they will fight back after my death, I think. One of our famous writer, Humayun Azad, he was also attacked And many of our famous intellectual, they fought with them, the fundamentalist. And I think that I'm also a soldier of that war. Not physical war, it is ideological war, ideological fight. And yes, I have to do that for the people of Bangladesh. And most of the people of Bangladesh, they are very poor and they don't have any education. And so the religious leaders can influence them. So I have to do something for them. I'm not a very patriot person. I don't believe in nationalism. I don't think that Bangladesh is my country. All the world is my country. But the people, I have to do something for the people of Bangladesh.
Asif Mohyuddin, prize-winning atheist Bangladeshi blogger, here with us in the studio today. Thank you very much for joining us on Worldling.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.